Welcome to this week's episode of the Prep Athletics Podcast. I'm proud to have joining us Coach Curtis Peary from Massanutten Military Academy. Okay, now, Massanutten Military sounds like a military school, but as you will learn in this conversation, as of a year ago, the basketball team does not have to do all the military stuff. They do have to wear a coat and tie. They don't have to drill and do all the military stuff associated with the school. So this is huge. This is something you want to think about because they're a big-time program that plays in the EPL. So they play good competition. They've had players go to the NBA in the past. They send guys D1 every year. Curtis is a former D1 assistant coach at Maryland Eastern Shore, so he brings that experience as well as his assistant who played D1 and also coached D1. So a lot going on there. Had a good conversation with Curtis on what kind of player he's looking for, how they do their college placement, the usual question, right? What does it take to be a D1 guard, and much, much more. So enjoy this conversation with Massanutten Military's head coach, Coach Curtis Peary, here on the Prep Athletics Podcast. Thanks so much. Welcome to the Prep Athletics Podcast. This is Corey Heights.
Some battles. I'm not sure if they got us. If they did, maybe.
So you will get better as a player during that year.
So it was kind of exciting. Like, oh yeah, somebody wants me.
Curtis, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Corey, for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. And walk me back in time to where you grew up and what got you into basketball.
Yeah, I grew up in Salem, Virginia. Went to Roanoke College, not too far away from home, and knew I kind of wanted to get into coaching at some point. And so made my decision to go to Roanoke based off Coach Page Moyer, and his affiliated with the NABC, and you know, kind of his connections, and you know, with the hopes of you know, joining the college staff once I graduated. So, you know, and I was very fortunate. I got hired by Frankie Allen at Maryland Eastern Shore, who's a Roanoke College all-time great, you know, head coach at Division I for, I don't know, 30, 35 years, and took me on as GA, and, you know, just kind of fell in love with it and been doing it ever since.
Yeah. Now walk me back to your choice to Roanoke. So it sounds like you were specific that you knew you wanted to be a coach. And with this coach at Roanoke's connections in the NABC, was that probably the main deciding factor? Am I understanding that right?
It was a huge deciding factor. I don't know if it was the main one. It was a long time ago. I knew no. I had a teammate that I played in high school with. We grew up together, AJ Dow. And, you know, his mom and dad actually took me on a recruiting trip. He was at Hampton, Sydney at the time. And, you know, met him down there and hung out a little bit. And he's like, man, I'm trying to leave. You know, he decided to go to Roanoke, and Roanoke was right there with all the other schools. And the fact that I got to play with AJ again at Roanoke was kind of the tipping point for me. But yeah, Page Moyer at Roanoke, he was the president of the NABC at one point. And, you know, his connections, and his dad was an all-time winningest coach in Virginia Tech history. And so there was some deep connection, coaching connections there. And guys that had played for him went on to college and to be college coaches. And so I kind of looked at all that and, just decided on Roanoke, and, best decision of my life. So loved every minute of it.
Good. Thanks for sharing that. Now, we did mention Maryland Eastern Shore, D1 program. All right. So you're at that level now. And now you're at the prep school level, which we're going to get into. What lessons and strategies and just ways of doing things did you learn in that D1 program that you still incorporate today at Massanutten?
Yeah, you know, I played, so Roanoke College was Division III, right? And I went from Division III player to Division I GA. Really kind of didn't know what to expect a whole lot, in terms of different levels, right, and how they operate. I got thrown into the fire by Frankie, and, you know, was doing a whole bunch of everything, right, with the, you know, laundry and team travel and, you know, coordinating, you know, on-campus visits and, you know, things like that, driving a whole bunch of places and doing a whole bunch of things. And, you know, the grind is really kind of what I fell in love with, you know, doing things that, you know, maybe aren't necessarily related to coaching aspect of it, but understanding that it all comes down to coaching, right? And being able to drive a assistant coach down to recruit and kind of just sit in the car because I was a GA and couldn't go in at the time. And so I was just hanging out but understanding, like, that's kind of part of, paying your dues, so to speak. And You know, I fell in love with it, loved every second of it. It was a grind, you know, understanding that side of it to the prep school level where it's a grind at this level too, right? It's just me and my assistant and we drive vans and we do laundry and, you know, we take guys here and there and I'm getting ready to drop a kid off at the airport this evening to fly back, going to the airport again tomorrow for a kid at AAU. So it all kind of prepared me for the prep level. And trying to help kids and, you know, build connections with coaches from different programs and different areas, you know, being able to help these kids get to college, and, you know, it's all part of it. It's all great things. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yep. Got to start from that ground floor and learn how to do those things before you can move up. Walk me through this. When you're in the recruiting rooms with the head coach and assistant coaches, and they've got the whiteboard with the positions and names. Walk me through some behind the scenes of how those conversations go, because we got a lot of families and players that listen to this, Curtis, and I want them to hear like what these coaches talk like behind closed doors when it comes to recruiting.
Yeah. So like from a Division I, we got all the, you know, the whiteboard and different coaches obviously recruiting different players. And, you know, a lot of those are like one assistant is really high on one kid. Obviously another assistant is really high on his kid. And so they're all making kind of their pitches to coach. And, you know, we kind of watch film and highlight tapes. And, you know, it really comes down to a couple different things that the head coach is looking for. You know, it could be as simple as a kid not sprinting the floor every time, right? You know, it could be as a guy making open shots or missing open shots. And in the head coach's mind, it's like, man, he should have made that or he should have did this. And, you know, one little thing can determine it for a coach, right? And you know, each assistant has his own kind of guys, so to speak, and their job is to trying to pitch them to the head coach, and ultimately the head coach is there to make a decision. You know, one little thing depends on the coach, right? Every coach is different. Every coach is looking at a couple different things, and you know, that's kind of their bread and butter. And if guys do those things well, they tend to get those offers. You know, in the head coach's mind, if a kid doesn't do those things you know, that he's looking for, you know, he looks at somebody else. But it's a simple game. And you know, when you're talking about Division I level and really just college basketball in general, like they're all good players, right? And when you look at a player and look at athleticism and size and skills and ability and things like that, like it's all pretty even. But when a guy's going the extra mile, right, or diving on the floor for a loose ball, or man, that kid sprints the floor every time, right? Or if you're a big and you know you rim run to the front every single time, you're beating your other, you know, you're beating your man down the floor. It says a lot about who you are and you know, what kind of player you can be, and ultimately whether a coach can say I can work with that or I don't know if I can work with that, right? That's part of those you know, kind of behind the scenes look, so to speak.
Let me see if I'm hearing this right, too. If that big man hustled and runs rim to rim, busts his butt, goes 100%, but doesn't have the skill yet, would your staff then have taken that kid over someone who might have had more skill but not gone as hard?
Yeah, because you can work with hustle, right? Like, big kids tend to develop late anyway. And so you see a lot of kids, like, they'll get recruited based on potential, right? And ultimately, how is that kid getting better? Does he work hard when there's nobody in the gym, right? Is he by himself? Does he, you know, pull an assistant coach in the gym? Hey, let's get better on skills. You know, what kind of kid is he as a human being? All that's got to show in the game in front of a coach, right? We can say as prep school coaches, we can call guys, hey man, this guy works in the gym. He's, you know, he's in here every night, but you still got to have results in the game, right? Like production, yeah, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, ultimately big guys are really recruited based off of, you know, potential, especially now with today transfer portal and guys getting older and all this stuff. And, you know, freshmen bigs are, you know, everybody wants a big, right? But what's that separating factor, right? And you know, I think for coaches, like if a guy's willing to go the extra mile and, you know, play hard all the time, like, you know, that's just something you can't teach, right? If you go watch, you know, high level basketball, right? Just Houston and Florida, like, man, those guys get after it, right? And you got to have a level of toughness and a level of physicality to you, you know, and you can take skills as kind of secondary when you're looking at those types of programs.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for sharing all that. That was great insight.
Yes, sir.
From Maryland Eastern Shore, you went back to Roanoke and then Ferrum College. Walk me through what the transition was like back to that level in Virginia, and then what you took from that that you incorporate now?
Yeah, so at Roanoke and Ferrum, right, Division III programs, you know, you have to cast a wide net in recruiting. So our recruiting boards look very different than a Division I level where you're handing out your full scholarships, right? You got 12 scholarships, 13 scholarships at the Division I level. Well, Division III doesn't have athletic scholarships. Right? You're trying to convince families to pay money to a school based off of academics and athletics and how we're going to treat your son and how we're going to help your son after he graduates. So you go from maybe 50 kids, 100 kids at Division I level to 200-300 kids at the Division III level, because some families just can't afford a private school education, right? And there's public school Division III programs that are much cheaper than private schools, but it just depends on, you know, the family's FAFSA and financial situation, being able to afford, and then what that school is willing to do to help get some of those kids. And so it helped me at the prep level, because we obviously have to recruit a bunch of kids in hopes to get a couple, right? And a lot of those families, they can't afford it, or they can't, or maybe they get Division II offer late or Division I offer late, and they decide to go to college as opposed to prep. So a lot of those, you know, kids may fall through or whatever, but you got to talk to a lot of families, you got to talk to a lot of AAU coaches, a lot of high school coaches. You're trying to get kids that kind of fit the way you want to coach. You know, we look for toughness and physicality here, right? So we're trying to get, you know, good character kids with some toughness to them. And those aren't easy to find, right? And so you have to, well, this year we had kids from Rhode Island and Florida Rhode Island and Texas and North Carolina, California, like all over the place. And we had three international kids from three different countries. So we expand our horizons as far as we can. And we're trying to find the right guys.
And tell me about this. This is your time to make the pitch for Massanutten, both as a school and as a basketball program. Tell folks that don't know much about you and your program, give them the snapshot.
Yeah, so Massanutten, we're located in Woodstock, Virginia. We've got about 150, 200 kids on campus. We are a military school, so we have some discipline and structure that is associated with that. However, our post-grad prep school basketball program, we are not a military program. My guys wear a uniform. They're allowed to have a little bit of hair, but the daily grind is kind of what makes this place so great. Kids don't understand the grind until you're in it. But we wake up at 6 a.m. every day, and breakfast is at 7. We lift weights at 8. Class starts at 9. Lunch is at noon. We practice from 1:30 to 4 o'clock every day. We got, you know, the evening off. Dinner's at 6:15, 7:30 to 10:30. We're back in the gym again. And then we wake up and we do it all over again, right? And so kids have an opportunity to get better. We're in the gym a lot. We work on skills and obviously getting kids bigger, faster, stronger in the weight room. And we do a really good job of getting kids to that level and preparing kids for college. My actual post-grad kids, they take college courses. So they get 12 hours of college credit here throughout the year. If you're a high school kid, obviously you take high school classes. We're trying to get you to graduate. You know, my assistant KT, he played at UNC Greensboro, was a GA at UNC Greensboro. So he's a Division I player coach. I coach at the Division I level. So it's a full Division I level experience here. What we try to do, and we play in the elite prep league, and it's one of the tougher prep leagues in the country. You know, five-star Nate Amit playing here last year, and Chris Jeffries, who's now going to Villanova. A bunch of highly talented kids. I think we probably had seven or eight top 150 kids in our conference. So it's not an easy league. We did very well this year. You know, we finished third in the conference. We went to the national tournament in Connecticut, lost to Putnam Science, who ended up winning the national championship and in the Elite Eight. So it's not easy basketball, but if you want to get better and you want the opportunity and you want to get the exposure, there's really no place better than Massanutten.
I love it. Thanks for sharing all that.
Now, yes, sir.
Obviously the big challenge for you is the word military in your school's title. And look, man, Air Force Prep School, Air Force Academy, Air Force Officer, I get it all. I get the benefits. It doesn't scare me, doesn't scare you, but it scares a lot of kids.
Absolutely.
Break down more specifically, Curtis, like for the post-grad, you say you got to wear a uniform, but like what all do post-grads have to do militarily? And then walk me through the underclassmen, like what that looks like for them.
So the underclassmen that are not in the prep program are a full military school, right? So they got to shine their shoes. They got to make their bed. They got to drill in the mornings. So they're actually drilling right after lunch today. We've got our alumni weekend coming up this weekend. And so they got to march in parades and, you know, all that type of things. We used to do that. Last year in August, we made the switch to a non-military program. So when I say my guys wear a uniform, we wear shirt, tie, khakis, and a blazer. We don't actually do any of the military stuff. You know, the other kids, they go to the barber and they get it cut down with no guard, so to speak, or, you know, a one guard, right? So they don't have any hair. My guys are allowed to have some hair. They can have it braided and a little bit longer than the other guys. But yeah, so in terms of military stuff, we don't actually do that anymore. We used to. I'm sure all my former players are probably pretty mad at this because they had to do all that. I think it made them better. But in terms of recruiting, I think this is going to help us in the future. We saw great results this year, and we had a great group of kids. They're all kind of, you know, great human being, so to speak. And they made it easy this year. So we'll see how it progresses. But yeah, technically we are a military school, but we're not a military program anymore.
So you say the prep guys, even the underclassmen that are in the basketball program, are wearing coat and ties.
Yep. Even the other. So it's a completely separate program.
Gotcha.
We live separately from everybody else. Like, we have our own kind of barracks and, you know, everything is kind of separated, same daily schedule, but instead of 8 to 9 in the morning where they go, you know, the other kids go out to the football field and track and march, we go into the weight room and get stronger.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. That's great. That's so much looser than the old days there. So I think that's great. Let's walk through development. All right. Because you mentioned you and you got another D1 assistant, former D1 player to an assistant. Families always ask me about development at this prep school versus that prep school. And sometimes that's how they choose where they're going to go. So break down as specifically as you can. Like, if I'm coming there starting in August, what's my development look like and how are you going to get me better?
Yeah. So the biggest thing from high school to college is the weight room, right? Like, we've got to get stronger and we've got to get more athletic. And a lot of kids you see either need to lose some baby fat, so to speak. And then the other guy's got to gain weight. So we feed them protein shakes and things like that. We've had kids gain 15, 16. So I've had a kid go from 285 to 233. And he saw his athleticism increase tremendously. This year we had a kid gain 23 pounds. So that's probably the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And then from a development standpoint, like, I don't like to try to paint kids into a box. Like, hey, you're a point guard or you're a center or you're like, we want to get better at everything. And so we got guys that, you know, our centers are doing ball handling drills. Our point guards are doing post up drills. Like, we want to incorporate everything with these kids so they can get better at almost everything. Right. The footwork in the post, the ball handling on the perimeter, shooting off the bounce, floaters, freeze, catch and shoot. You know, I don't know if you can hear me, but we got a kid in the gym right now. He's on the shooting machine, the gun. And, you know, it's just part of, you know, getting better is I think you have to work on everything, right? When you're 16, 17, 18 years old, like, you've got a lot of things to improve. And to kind of separate that and, for a marketing standpoint, from a college coach perspective, right? Like, you want a kid that can do multiple different things, right? So we want to work on multiple things. So that's kind of our, you know, our development approach. And I think our guys here got better this year. At least I hope they'd say that. I think our guys in the past have gotten better. You know, a lot of guys say, man, I wish I did 2 years at Massanutten or 3 years at Massanutten. You know, we've got guys, some guys returning, and, you know, I kind of joke with them, like, hey, man, where are you going next year? Are you coming back here? Coach, I'm not leaving Massanutten. Like, I bleed blue, purple, and gold. Like, kids here, they love it because they get better. It's a good environment to get better.
Love it. Do you have two teams there or just one prep team?
Just one prep team.
I know the answer to this one, but you guys are not required. Your students are not required to play multiple sports if they're there for basketball. Right?
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay.
My kids are strictly prep school basketball.
Perfect. Perfect. You mentioned earlier kind of player looking for has toughness, right? And character. How do you find that? Like, where is Massanutten getting their player?
So we've got kids from all over the country, really. We got into Atlanta a little bit. We had a kid, Kylan Hill. He's from Augusta, Georgia. Great human being. Probably one of the better kids. Maybe the best kid I've ever coached as a human being standpoint. He's a 6'8", 220 kid that's easy a mid-major prospect. Works his tail off. But yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? Like sometimes you bring in a kid, and we've had some kids that I thought were a lot tougher than they were. You know, once you get into, you know, waking up at 6 a.m. and weights and doing essentially three practices a day, you're never really going to find out how tough a kid is until they do that every single day for months on end, right? So you call their AAU coaches, you call their high school coaches, you try to find out any kind of information you can on just kind of how tough that kid is mentally and physically. Is he mentally ready to do this? And I tell families too, like if you like basketball, Massanutten is not the place for you. You got to love basketball to be here. And we want those guys that absolutely love basketball and love to be in a gym and get better.
Yeah, perfect. Now, with the transfer portal and all the people available for these college programs, your job as a prep school coach and doing college placement has gotten tougher. With that being said, what is your strategy for getting your players placed in college?
So it's the exposure piece, right? We play a hard schedule, right? I would say we probably play one of the harder schedules in prep school basketball. You know, we go to the Hoop Hall in Springfield. We go to the National Prep Showcase. There's a bunch of college coaches up there. We go to Florida, IMG. We play NBA Africa down there. You know, we play in the Elite Prep League. So we play against other guys that have offers and, you know, other recruitment guys. And we just say, hey, look, if you want an opportunity, you got to go beat this kid that's going to Duke or beat this kid that's going to wherever, right? So it's an opportunity for our guys to say, all right, look, I'm better than this kid. I was never able to do that in high school, but now I have that opportunity in prep where I get to play ABC, right, from a college coach perspective. Like, this kid's a top 50 kid or top 100 kid or whatever. Whatever, right? How good are you? Well, we're going to prove it today, right? And so getting guys recruited is always hard. I don't think college coaches trust the prep school level, at least not all of them. You know, they bring in kids and they kind of second guess some of these kids. And, you know, from a prep school standpoint, like there's no kid better prepared for college, especially, you know, at this level. Like, you're talking about a high school kid or a prep school kid. I would say even some JUCO guys, prep school's a better option, right? I mean, I know they get that year back now in JUCO and the rules are changing, but elite prep league guys, if you go to Mount Zion and Hargrave and Fork Union, all these other well-known programs, like they all have college basketball guys. And I think if college coaches would come in the gym more, they would be able to see that. Recruiting has changed, right? You got to get older guys and transfer guys. And, you know, it's hard to pass up a guy that's got, you know, 50 college games under his belt as opposed to a kid that doesn't have any. They're good players at this level that can help college programs in the future.
Yeah, I get it. Thanks for sharing that. What do you see as the future of prep school basketball? Like 5 years from now, what's it going to look like?
Man, hopefully it's better than what it is now. I think it's in a good place. But man, 5 years from now, who knows what's going to happen? You know, the way things are changing with the NCAA and these lawsuits and, you know, kids getting years back. I think we kind of have to let the dust settle a little bit on what's going on that level. I do think that, you know, with the NIL packaging and the contracts and you know, some of these other things, I think from a college level, it's got to be a little bit more clear. And I think a lot of those coaches would agree with that, but you know, I have no idea. Hopefully it's better than what it is now. You know, more players want to go prep. I hope they see the value in it. We play college basketball rules. So it's, you know, it's kind of an opportunity to get to play college basketball without actually playing college basketball and using those years of eligibility. But yeah, I mean, 5 years is a long time. Who knows what could happen between now and then.
Hey, what does it take to be a Division I guard?
Man, Division I guard, you got to be able to guard your spot. You know, you got to be able to get guys the rock, get, you know, playmakers the rock, get shooters the rock, the bigs involved. You got to be able to play defense and rebound, and ultimately as a you know, Division I point guard, you got to be able to make an open shot, right? If your wing is your best player, leading scorer, like he's probably going to get double teamed. You got a dominant big. He's probably going to get double teamed. And when they kick the ball back out, you got to be able to make an open shot, be able to have guys respect that.
Yeah, love it. Curtis, we're going to finish up with some quick hitters here. All right.
Sir.
Who's the best player you ever played against?
Man, best player I ever played against. I actually played against Rajon Rondo at Oak Hill when I was in high school. That was way back in the day. But yeah, I'd say he's probably the best player.
Okay. Who's the best player you coached against, both at the college level and at the prep school level?
Cam Thomas.
Where was Cam when you coached against him?
He was at Oak Hill. It was an exhibition game here at Massanutt, and I think Cam dropped, I don't know, 46 on us or something like that. There was not much we could do with him.
Okay. What's your favorite movie?
I'm actually watching Yellowstone right now, so I don't really know. I mean, I like them all, but you know, that's what I'm watching right now.
Okay. And when you're not doing basketball and watching Yellowstone, what are your hobbies?
I go fishing.
Fishing.
I like to fish, and we travel the state and try to catch different species, and just kind of lets me disconnect and get a little lesson in patience. So yeah, I like to fish.
All right. Is there anything you want to touch on that we didn't mention in this podcast?
No, sir. I think that's it.
Where can people find you if they want to learn more?
You can visit our website, militaryschool.com. You can contact our social media, MMA, PG Basketball, Instagram, Twitter. You can reach me on my cell phone, my office phone, email. It's all listed on our website. But yeah, should I say my cell phone address number or no?
Call if you want thousands and thousands of calls from all our listeners. Yeah, go for it. But we'll put all the contact information down below in the show notes. So if it progresses past email,
yeah, I got you.
Then I would suggest giving out your cell phone number.
I got you.
Well, Curtis, thanks so much for joining us in the podcast today. And you know, I think you shared a lot about the experience at Massanutten and how it's not a typical military school for kids looking at it, thanks to the adjustments you guys made about a year ago. So I think that's going to give you a heads up in years to come. So I appreciate you coming on.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah. And if you guys like that, be sure to subscribe to the Prep Athletics podcast on all the major podcasting platforms. Subscribe to our YouTube channel where we have bonus content. Go to prepathletics.com, sign up for the newsletter so you don't miss out on all the up and coming action in the prep school world. And if you got any questions or want a free consultation, reach out to me at prepathletics.com. I respond to every single email and call. I want to make sure you're informed, and if we can help in any way, we'd be more than happy to. So thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Take care.